Okay. All right, so church family, merry almost Christmas. Believe it or not, it is, it's only 5 days left before Christmas hits us. And with that being the case, and with it being the final Sunday of our Advent season here tonight, fourth and final, we are back today for one final installment, if you will, of our Advent kind of 2020 series, in which we are focusing our attention in on some of these kind of key secondary characters who are kind of standing around the edges and on the margins of the Christmas story, kind of, you know, the people you see in that picture. And so with that in mind behind me, with our primary aim really here being to see how Jesus meets people, to see how Jesus blesses these people, especially these people on the margins. Our focus tonight will be on two people, actually. They're a little bit less known, but really remarkable characters that we find in the scriptures. Characters by the names of Simeon and Anna. So that said, one disclaimer here is that we are, with Simeon and Anna, we are kind of cheating a little bit. It's a little bit like it was with the Magi a few weeks back, because just like as Josh pointed out a couple weeks ago, you know, the night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the manger, like technically the Magi were not there. Same thing with Anna and Simeon tonight. So we're kind of cheating. They come a little bit later in the story, but we're pulling them in anyway as part of our Advent series, because they weren't really on the scene. But just to kind of set the stage as I dive into the text and read from Luke here, just so you have this picture in your mind, Jesus here in this scene is probably about a month and a half to 2 months old. And he is with his parents. He's with Mary and Joseph, and they are now in Jerusalem. They've left Bethlehem. They've traveled to the temple in Jerusalem. And in accordance with the law, they are there at the temple. So that as kind of some background here, let's dive into the text. We're looking at, again, Luke chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 25, and we'll go through verse 38. So would you stand as you're able for the reading of God's word? God's word says this, Luke 2, picking up in 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36, And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is God's word. Please remain standing and we'll pray together. Father in heaven, Lord God, you are good. You are the giver of good gifts. Lord, chief among those are your word that you give to us, by which we know you, Lord, and also your spirit, by which your word begins to not just make sense cognitively, but it makes sense in our hearts. Lord, use this time for your purposes, for your glory on this earth and for our good. We ask In Jesus' name, amen. And then you may be seated. I might need a tissue. Can you grab one? Thanks, Josh. So, awkward moment. Okay, so, hey, let there be light. You guys awake?
Yes.
Okay, I see some nods, signs of life. Okay, so church family, I want to begin our reflection tonight on these two characters, Simeon and Anna, by referring us back actually to the words of Solomon that we heard read out actually just a few moments ago. Thank you, brother. Much appreciation. Okay. That's taken care of. All right, so the words that we heard read out in the service just a few moments ago, early in the service, before we lit the fourth candle of our Advent wreath behind us. So just to refresh us in those words in case you missed it or whatever, I know the kids were leaving the room at that moment when that was going on. So what I'm referring to is these words from Proverbs, and it's chapter 13 and verse 12. They're actually, if you have a bulletin, it's printed in there. And it's this place where Solomon writes this. He writes that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but that a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So heart sickness here, according to Solomon, is being caused by unmet longing of some kind. Unsatisfied, unfulfilled desire. Heart ache, he is describing, a kind of heart-level ache, an internal soul kind of struggle that is being felt. Something that can exist and does exist, as Solomon is pointing it out here in the scriptures, because you or I might want something. And especially, I think he's talking about us wanting something that is good. We want some good thing very badly. We want some good thing really intensely, really deeply. And yet, the situation being described here in the proverb is that that good thing that we are after, that we want, that we desire, it's not coming for whatever reason. It seemingly has not been given. It is not arriving when we thought it would or how we had planned or expected that it would show up in our lives. Hope deferred, making the heart sick. Made me think this week, when Angie and I were living in St. Louis several years ago now for seminary, we had these friends, married couple who we got to know. We met them at church, and they kind of welcomed us in a really kind way. And we got to know them. They were both really fun, sweet people. They had a huge heart for hospitality. They served in the youth ministry at this church. We connected initially because this gal played the mandolin and she sang on the music team. And I was doing percussion, so we connected there, and then, you know, it kind of grew. Got to know her husband as this very, just a huge history nerd. Loved history biography, so I really appreciated all of that. And it was sweet. You know, they were St. Louis residents, and we were kind of new. We were outsiders, so they welcomed us as foreigners and as outsiders to St. Louis and to their church. Really appreciated it. Beyond all that, though, all these good and true and fun things about this couple, another part of this of their story together is that even though the wife, especially in this couple, but really both of them together, had been thinking about and had been dreaming about and wanting children for a really long time, or at least for a number of years in their marriage, children were not coming. They were not succeeding in being able to get pregnant. And at least at the time that we knew them there, when we were in St. Louis doing seminary, all of that, it was looking like that might never actually happen for them. And so, a really hard thing, a curveball, an unexpected trial and challenge in life for this couple, and especially for this gal, this woman. She was one who, as we got to know her, we began to realize she was just a very organized person, very, very planned out in everything that she did. And so, you know, having children was part of her plan. And it was, you know, I think she had not only like how many she was going to have, but she had like their names and their birth order, and she had it all like laid out. It was figured. And then this challenge, this curveball in her life and in their life. And I share just a little bit of that story, of their story, because I think it connects to some of the themes that we're seeing in the lives of Simeon and Anna. And because the season of Advent, I think, that we are in right now, the season of Advent at its heart, at its core, Advent is very much a season in which Christian people of every age, every culture, every background, we get to just kind of pause and be honest about desires. We get to pause and be honest about longings, and especially, I think, unmet desires and unsatisfied or unfulfilled longings. I think Advent is a season in which we get to acknowledge together, in accordance with God's word, that things are not always the way they're supposed to be in this life, in this world, as we're living it right now. It's this moment that we get to acknowledge together that waiting and that longing is actually normative. It is actually the normal thing. The ache is a normal thing in this post-Genesis 3 fall sin-cracked experience that we are living in. Even we might go so far as to say that if we are not experiencing an ache, or if we are not experiencing a longing of some kind, that might be an indication that our hearts are not fully alive as they should be, as the Spirit wants us to be. I think Advent is the season in which the tree of life that the Proverbs referred to, that Solomon referred to, when a desire is really and truly fulfilled, or when our hope, something we're hoping for, actually becomes sight to us, we see it. Advent is this time that we get to acknowledge that that is the work of God. Whenever we experience fulfillment, whenever we experience satisfaction on a heart level in this life, deep down, we might say, whenever we experience, you know, we've been going through these candles, each one represents hope or love or joy or any of these things. Advent is the time where we acknowledge that if we're experiencing those things, it is because the Lord has come. Maybe if not in that moment, he's not physically with us. Spiritually, his Spirit is with us. He is with us in and through his word and by his Spirit. And that is what Advent is. As we look at the text, look at Luke 2. If the details that we receive here about Simeon and Anna tell us anything, I think they tell us for certain that these are two people, Simeon and Anna, who know what it's like to desire a good thing, to hope for a good thing, and yet for a really long time to not see it come. It seems like the thing that they're wanting, that they're desiring, is very much delayed, or we could say deferred in its coming. In Simeon's case, we're told really clearly in verse 25 of the text that Simeon is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Or instead of the word consolation, we might, in our more normal vernacular use of language, we might say he's waiting for the comforting of Israel, or he is waiting for the consoling of Israel. Just like you think of comforting or consoling a child who is upset. I can imagine that very clearly in my current life stage. You comfort, you console the child when they're losing it for whatever reason. That is what Simeon is waiting for. It's this reality that he's not just coming up with He's not just waiting for this thing completely randomly, but this is a theme that is huge throughout the Old Testament. These promises that have been made. And especially we might think of Isaiah 40. Isaiah is full of these messianic prophecies, but Isaiah 40 especially is this moment where there's been just chapter after chapter of like hard thing and a hard thing and judgment. And then Isaiah 40 becomes this turning point. And I think this might be one of the moments that Simeon has in his mind as he's waiting and longing. In Isaiah 40 verse 1, God's word says, "Comfort, comfort my people," says God, "and speak tenderly to Jerusalem." I think that's one of the things that Simeon is waiting for. We find him to be this man who is probably elderly at this point. It doesn't specifically say that, but there's enough there that we can assume that he's an older guy. And he's living in this moment in which over 400 years have passed since guys like Isaiah and guys like Jeremiah and guys like Malachi, all of these Old Testament prophets, made all these incredible messianic type statements about who was coming, what he was going to do, what it was going to look like, the comfort that was coming, the healing, all of these things. Over 400 years since these guys have spoken. And Simeon's lived a whole life. And he's still waiting. Still waiting for it. In a similar way, if we kind of turn the page a little bit here, focus on our other character, we find Anna here also waiting. She is one, as she is waiting, she is worshiping and she is fasting daily at the temple. This is her life. It's day after day, it's night after night, month by month, year by year, as a widowed woman, waiting. Luke tells us that as an 84-year-old, Anna does not depart from the temple. She doesn't leave. That is her life. It's a life of continual worship there at the temple. We get the hints and the indicator, too, that there's this whole community of longing people around Anna and around the temple. Kind of longing in the same and similar way that we see Simeon longing and waiting. Especially we see this reference in the text to the fact that these people are waiting for the redemption of Israel. Again, that word redemption might be a little disconnected in our minds. So you might substitute the word deliverance or the word rescuing. People have read their Old Testament and they're waiting for the rescuing, the deliverance of this nation in accordance with God's word, in accordance with his promises. And so, put it together, for both Simeon and Anna, what we see here, their lives, it has been years and years and years. Waiting. Waiting and waiting. And then suddenly, all at once, there's an arrival. All at once, there is an advent. There is an appearing. All at once, it is Christmas, and there's a fulfillment of God's word. All at once, the promised one shows up. The promised child spoken of in Isaiah 9, verse 7, where Isaiah speaks about, he says, you know, "For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." That child, he has come. The one who actually would comfort and console Jerusalem, as Simeon was hoping and waiting for. The one who would redeem and rescue Israel, as this community and Anna around the temple are waiting for and longing for and hoping for. He has arrived in the flesh. And so that brings it to us here now in my mind. A lot of other details in the text that are rich and powerful, but I'm trying to stay short and focused here. So I have to wait for another day for some of those other things. So for us then, with only 5 days left before Christmas for us in this really weird, really challenging 2020 year, what does this account, what does this story Simeon and Anna, their experience. What does it mean for us here today? I think if we just go one by one, for Simeon, first of all, what did we learn from him? For Simeon, I think Simeon's eyes finally behold Jesus. The impact for him is peace. He sees the Lord, and peace fills his soul. We see that the impact of seeing Jesus is such that he suddenly has this preparation in his spirit to depart. The Lord has told him specifically that he won't see death until he sees the Lord's Christ. So I think in this moment, Simeon sees him, and he knows that it's time for him to pass the baton. And that's okay with him, because he's lived his life, and he knows where he's going. He knows his God. And he's ready to enter the next life and to enter true rest. Peace is Simeon's when he sees Jesus. For Anna, if we turn to her, Anna is such an impressive character to me in this text. What is her response? She gets busy. 84-year-old woman. She does not slow down. She sees Jesus, and she, by my eyes and reading of the text, she essentially becomes an evangelist. She's like the shepherd. She goes out there and she starts telling everyone what she has seen. She spreads the word. She tells it the good news that the Messiah, the chosen one, the promised one, has arrived. And Jesus shows up and Anna gets going. She takes action. For us, we live in between these two poles, right? We live in between Jesus, our Savior, his coming, his birth on the one side, and his return as King, mighty God, coming on the clouds on the other side. We're in between those two poles. I think sometimes we wish we were, you know, either on more on this side or more on that side. We want either one, but we don't like the tension in the middle. But it's where we are. And so I think because that is our position on purpose, God has placed us here on purpose for this time, for this season, I think we need both. I think we need both what we see in Simeon, what the Lord gives Simeon, and what the Lord gives Anna as well. We need that peace that we see in Simeon to release and to depart, knowing that we can rest in our God. We need that in this life and in our days on this earth. But I think we also need what we see in Anna. We need that worshipful, gospel-fueled action that Anna, even as an 84-year-old widowed woman, just dives right in. Says, it's not over yet. I'm going to go tell some people about Jesus. I think we need both of those. We need the Spirit to lead us and to guide us to know what moment it is. As I was thinking about this for myself personally, I think that one of my deferred hope things for me, one of the things that I long for and desire, but feel like I don't always see, is this huge desire just for total like togetherness, like unity, coming together, spiritual, physical, emotional, like togetherness. I feel like my words fail as I try and describe it. But that's like one of these desires of my heart, one of my longings. I don't know if that's because I'm a middle child or I'm like a weird hippie underneath, whatever pastory external that I have. Want everyone to get along, right? And that is not the reality of this world that we live in currently. It's not even the reality of the church as we experience it here and now. But I'm confident, I know without a doubt, that Jesus Christ, when he comes again, he is going to bring that world into existence. So I hope in him, can trust in him. I can wait for him. Even in that longing for this kind of beautiful, perfect togetherness that I'm not seeing here and now. So, where are you longing? In what area of your life are you longing in these days? You. Where are you and how are you waiting, being forced to wait right now in this moment? Without at all intending to make light of whatever that ache is, whatever that longing is, I'd like to encourage you, as I would encourage myself tonight, to continue this 2020 Christmas year, this Advent season, whatever is left. Go to the Lord with that longing, with that ache, whatever it is. Go to him with it. Bring your desires to the one who is over it all. Because the truth is even if you don't see fulfillment here and now, like you're hoping, you get him. You get him as a king. You get him as a savior. You get him as a prince of peace in the midst of the tension and the struggle. And that is what we truly need. He is what we truly need. Christmas. I think I'll leave it there. Pray with me. Father in heaven, God, thank you that even though you did not need to come to this earth, you did. Father, that you sent your son so that we might be yours. Lord, that we might be able to have anchors that are steadfast and sure in our souls. Lord, that we will one day be with you and all will be well. Lord, encourage us by your word and your truth as we head towards Christmas in the next few days. Lord, may the light of the candles that have been lit be symbolic of light in our souls that your spirit is carrying on and igniting, Lord. Go before us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.